home of the stars, through the airwaves, and on the big screen. We're live from Hollywood. It's Super J Radio with your host, Garrett Miller, starring Paul and Matt. Yay!
Oh, my God! You remembered the right one!
Are you kidding? I haven't done the show for 3 months with you. Do you think I'm going to start off our August special and have the wrong music on here for you and then have to deal with that shit? No way.
Well, I figured you would have just deleted it. I like
that intro a lot, so I don't think that's going to go anywhere. I may just, sometimes I just play that 8-second little loop just for the heck of it, and I just have it on repeat.
It should help you with your cardio.
It does. It totally helps with my cardio. You know, it's that gay wedding vibe and me shouting in the background.
Oh, exactly. Actually, you should have that set, right? So that when you're topping a twink, just as soon as you blow your load, you just hit that. And there's like orgasmic nirvana right there.
Okay, well then I will have to make that first event happen, and then we'll start worrying about music later.
Welcome to Inappropriate Saturday, people.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul, so what's new?
Tell everybody why we took a break. We were on a break.
We were on a break. I didn't have anybody else lined up for guests. I needed some time off to kind of just. I went kind of silent on Facebook and social media, except for the foreign blog that I always keep going. I needed a break. I needed some time away. I needed a little vacation. And that was it. And then I was chatting with Chris on Facebook, and he said, gee, gonna have another show. I'm like, okay, I'll talk to Garrett, and boom, here we are.
And here we are. Oh, the magic of radio on a Saturday morning.
And I think it's fun. You know, I like keeping these specials, like when we can do it and we got somebody interesting to have on, we just throw it out there and it's like, surprise, Saturday you're going to have a fucking blast for an hour.
It's like the old NBC movies of the week and things like that. They need to be special events. You know, it's fine that we did it, you know, every week for like 6 months. So we got the rust worked out. We got all of those things figured out and we've hit a nice rhythm, but you know, we don't have to do it every week. It needs to be a special event.
Well, and I miss the afternoon after school specials. You know, Sarah.
That's what this is.
The teenage alcoholic thing or whatever. I mean, who knew? That kid, I mean, I have this kid. She ended up being a teenage alcoholic, and that's terrible. But in the 70s, this kid figured out that she could call the liquor store and have a fucking taxi pick up the booze for her, pretending to be her mother.
I mean, that's ingenuity. That's ingenuity. That's problem solving. That is what Schoolhouse Rock taught the children of our youth to do.
Absolutely.
Creative thinkers.
And that is something these fucking Pokemon Go people could never figure out.
They will never get it. Ever,
absolutely.
Ever,
absolutely. No. So what's new with Garrett? Tell me.
Well, let's see. I have been winning some music awards, which is really kind of cool. I'm up for Pop Artist of the Year and Pop Song of the Year with the IMEA Awards. They have a big award show this October. So if you are in the generous voting mood, it will take a whopping 2 minutes. And that includes me talking, you know, through the first minute and a half of this. But you can go to imeaawards.com/vote, imeaawards.com/vote. I'm in two categories. You don't have to vote for everybody else. By the way, if you're doing this from a mobile phone or iPad, it totally sucks. So I'm just telling you that up front. Go to your regular computer, your laptop or desktop. Scroll down to categories 34 and 35 in the music category, and that's me. Pop Artist of the Year and Pop Song of the Year. So if you'd kindly vote in those two categories for me, I will love you forever. I don't know exactly how all of this took place, but I'm grateful for the nomination and would love to walk away with an Artist of the Year award this October. So please vote and vote. You can vote once per valid email address. So those of you that have 5 or 6 email accounts, yes, you. All votes are appreciated and needed because I don't, you know, in some of these other things, online radio programs and stations where I've done really, really well, I know how to stack the vote. I call, you know, I individually ping each of you and say, please go press this button and vote now because I need your vote. And you do it. And I've been number one and it's been fantastic and great. But I mean, even that, I can't rig it. I can't make you go vote. You know, it's just the fact that you've been generous enough to do it. But I kind of know, you know, what volume of people I can count on and will vote for me if I, you know, put the ask out there. For the IMEA awards, I don't know who these other people are. I don't know what type of fan base they have. Maybe they have rabid fans. Maybe they have three people, their mother, their grandmother, and their Aunt Susie, who are their fans. I don't know. So I can't gauge how I'm going to do up against these other artists and what type of fan base they have. I have a feeling, however, that even though they might have great fan bases, they don't have the people that listen to my music as passionate as they are to, you know, Blonde Jesus and Gay Wedding and Sweat and Testify, all the good songs. So I'm, my hope and my prayer and all of that good stuff is that you'll go to the imeaawards.com/vote, vote for me in the music category. Number 34 and 35 is where I'm at. And we'll see how that happens. So that's going on. I've got a ton of other stuff, but what about you, Paul? Where have you been on vacation?
Well, first of all, I thought you were 33 and 35. I think that's what I meant.
If you add those together, it's my IQ.
Oh, okay. So, no, because I really think you got this in the bag unless one of those other people, like, released a sex tape from them. I'm sorry.
That would be interesting. But, you know, the fact is, you know, the funny thing is in the pop artist category or pop artist of the year, the week before this was announced, I'm announcing a show here in Hollywood. It's a fundraiser called LiveTheDreamTour.org, where they bring music education to children's, you know, programs around the country, you know, because music is one of those first things that gets cut. And everybody thinks, oh, music's not essential, but it teaches you math, it teaches you rhythm, it teaches you creative thinking, it teaches so many things. I can get on that soapbox for another day. But the Live the Dream Tour is taking music education and appreciation around the country and raising money to help support programs to help keep kids in music. And one of the headlining artists of the Live the Dream Tour concert, this inaugural gala event, was artist John Mulane. And John is a fantastic rocker. He's got a new album that's coming out, and I'm not trying to sit here and promote somebody else, but here's the facts, folks. He delivered a rock star performance, and I was just in awe of, you know, his delivery on stage. He sang two or three songs. And when the people at IMEA emailed me, they said, you know, you're nominated for the Artist of the Year. And I went, holy crap. And so I went and just took a look at it to, you know, make sure I wasn't, you know, hallucinating. And who's in that same category? Mr. John Mulane. And if you haven't heard of him, you know, most of these folks are indie artists. So it's, you know, it's not going to be like Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake and Justin Bieber and Justin Theroux and Justin, you know, it's not going to be that. It's going to be indie artists. So to be in that type of a category with somebody who's as accomplished as John Mulane, I was like, are they sure they got it right? But I'm not going to ask them twice. Keep my name on there. Now let's go win it. So
yeah,
I don't know,
I mean,
if it's a fan vote. But I don't know if it's a fan vote that determines it. I know that the fan vote is a key component of it. So the fact that we get a ton of people, you know, going in and voting, and you can vote between now and the end of September, so you've got a minute, but do it today. You know, I know that that will weigh heavily on what the final outcome is, but I don't know how much of that is determined by the fans. So hopefully, you know, a lot of you will go in and, you know, click those buttons today. Please do it. And please, you know, if you see my post on Facebook shamelessly asking you to do it, please do it. It's seriously, I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking you to even spend 99 cents, not even a dollar to go buy my music. I'm asking you to go spend 2 minutes of your time, free time, to just go vote for me. So please do that.
Not even free time. No, listen, do it while you're at work. Okay.
Do it exactly.
Just log
on somebody else's clock.
If you go to gmail.com on your browser, you can make up as many email addresses as you want. Just make up a new email address every day. Run over, vote for 33 and 35 or 34 and 35, wherever Gary is. Click submit. Boom, you're done. You're getting paid to vote for Gary. I think that's a wonderful idea. I know.
Absolutely. I'm in support of that.
In the past life, I think I used to scam like welfare and shit like that because I've been always come up with a scam to do something. I wish I didn't have a conscience. Me and my husband have said this 1,000 fucking times. We wish we had no ethics and no conscience because we would have started a church to bilk people out of their fucking money. So
well, there's still time.
Have to do a goddamn thing. But the thing is, I feel too bad. I have a conscience about it. I ethically can't take money from people unless I'm giving an actual church service for it.
Maybe you hire somebody, you know, like for a small 7-figure income like me, and I'll come and deliver a message once a week.
That's the problem with all of the churches is everybody's getting paid.
Their business. It is a business. I've been saying that for years, you know, and I think I'm spiritual. So, you know, I pray every day, I write my list of God and angels, and I, you know, I try to spread goodwill and I, you know, not say too many ill words that, you know, throughout the course of the day. But at the end of the day, I don't have a brick and mortar, even though you get all the tax breaks. You still got to pay staff. You still got to pay the electric bill. You still got to, you know, pay your mortgage and all of that other stuff if you're a church. And, you know, it is a business. And I, you know,
have
to put butts in the seats to keep the lights on.
Quite honestly, if there was an omnipotent God, okay, it really would be able to pay for or arrange for the shit itself without stealing from the American taxpayer.
Well, you would think so. So, you know.
I mean, personally, it's just, you know, if you can flood the planet, you know, and have a family on a boat with a bunch of dinosaurs and some fucking sheep, you certainly can make it so that, you know, their churches have, you know, divine electricity.
Divine electricity.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. You know, or it could be human powered. You know, have you seen those new kind of bikes that, you know, you can get for your home and you get on it and it's like a recumbent bike and you sit there and pedal. And if you pedal for X number of minutes, you actually have electricity for your house for an entire day. I want one of those.
Yeah. Because you're really into the exercise. I mean, I'm doing exercises and shit and I've lost almost 18 pounds.
Holy cow.
I know. And, you know, but it's work for me. It's like I'm praying to a God I don't believe in that we get the thunder showers and supposed to get this afternoon so that I don't do my walk.
Well, you know, maybe a day off wouldn't be necessarily so bad because if you're down 18 pounds, you're probably almost into those 26-inch jeans again.
It actually would be my second day off because we didn't walk yesterday.
Oh, well, then you got to go. You can't have 2 days. You can have one day off, but not two because two becomes three and three becomes a habit. So
I know. It's the fucking humidity. I can't wait for like September, October. I'll be out walking 2 and 3 times a day. I can't wait to get rid of this humidity and shit. So,
well, you would almost think you're down in like the Bahamas reporting and you're going to have like super frizzy hair or something.
No, I don't like to sweat. I've never liked to sweat. I don't even like to sweat during sex.
Wow.
I don't like to sweat.
Do you have a dehumidifier in the room or how does that work?
The thing is we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 air conditioners in the house that run 24 hours a day.
How do you have it?
What?
Oh my God! I don't even know how you have six air. How do you have 6 air conditioners in your house? Oh, you don't have like central air. You have to have it like room by room,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, we have to have them built into the wall because the original part of the house was like 1700 and something. There's no place for ductwork. We're looking into those slimline. You know, they look like hotel air conditioners.
Yeah,
we're looking into those. $5,000 a fucking piece for those goddamn things. Can you imagine $5,000? Yes, I could buy a little car for that. I could buy a fucking Kia.
So if I'm really hard up for cash, I'm just going to come and steal 5 air conditioners and walk away with $30,000, you know, cool cash in my pocket.
So it would be $25,000, but that's okay. You're pretty. You don't have to know math.
I don't need to know math. I leave that for my CPA.
Oh, All right, I'm out of shit, and I know that Chris is on the line, and I am dying to hear. He has got some juicy, juicy stories to tell.
Okay, so let's set this up. I've told everybody Chris has been on the show before, but Chris is the author. Chris Ando, by the way, A-N-D-O-E. So if you want to go find him on Facebook, go find him on Facebook. But he's the author of this brilliant novel called Delusions of Grandeur. He's been on Rated G Radio as a guest. He's been a co-host. He's been on Rated LGBT Radio, and now he's here on Super Gay Radio. So we got him on all the brands here, folks. But he's a brilliant writer, hysterically funny, very, very, very smart, and we're very lucky to have him here. By the way, if you want to call in and ask Chris a question, the hotline is open for the next 45 minutes while we're live, 323-657-1493. If you call in, because I see a ton of people on the line, you must press the number 1 on your keypad. Otherwise, I just assume you're calling in to listen to the show, and you want to listen by the telephone, but you don't want to be bothered. Okay, so if you want to bother us, please press 1. And we encourage you to press the number 1 key, but I say that. Now, Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. How is everyone?
Wonderful, Hanson. How are you doing?
Very good. Had a nice big brunch, and now I'm on the Chase Lounge with my little dog, Bronny, and just enjoying the banter.
What are you wearing?
I am wearing basketball shorts, and that's it.
Oh, wonderful. See you? Yeah.
I'm prepared. I am prepared. I know my audience.
That you do. Speaking of audiences, how many shows have you done so far?
Well, I've traveled the country. My last one, oh, my God, everything that could go wrong. With my Carbondale, Illinois show, which was the most recent one. It was at a club down there, and I was told, you know, that I had quite a bit of a following down there as far as people who follow my blog and read my book. It's kind of a satellite city of St. Louis, about 2 hours away, so they're kind of in tune to what's happening here. And so before I accepted the offer to perform down there to do a show, I contacted someone that I don't know very well, but I know is very plugged in to that community. And I said, if I do this show, would you help me promote it? And he was very enthusiastic. Oh, yes. You know, and I'm going to get you on this radio program and in this publication, and I'm going to do this and that. And then about 2 weeks before the show, I wrote him and I said, would you mind posting this on Facebook and, you know, kind of send him a message about promo? And nothing, no response. And he saw the message and no response, and I thought, oh, no. And so my big promoter just vanished, you know, for whatever reasons people do that. And so that piece was absent. None of the publicity came to be. And the week before I was to go down there, the manager of the bar quit. And the day of the event, it was 100 degrees, and the AC went out. And so it was cursed. So, yeah, I think there was maybe 20 people there, you know, and, you know, whatever, however many people are there, you entertain those people. And I went live on Facebook with the show and sweated and just got through it. It was a good experience. Every experience teaches you something. So that was my
What is a show? What do you do for a show?
If you've ever seen John Waters perform, it's kind of like that. You know, I basically tell stories. I started as an oral storyteller, and then about 10 years ago began writing, which is a whole different beast. And since then, have been so focused on the writing, but now I'm getting a little bit more back to my roots of storytelling. And so I just do a set of stories, just get up there for an hour or so, and just I have a theme, whatever the theme is, and whether it's bar stories or debauchery or whatever the theme, colorful characters, whatever the theme is, and get up there and do a set of stories on that.
I love your writing, but I got to say, your oral is exceptional.
I appreciate that. People really do. It's a different thing. And people, you know, I get a lot of good feedback for that. So I need to get this audio book done because that's, you know, I'm recording Delusions of Grandeur as an audiobook, but it's taking a long time. But I'm looking forward to getting that done.
Christmas is coming, Chris. Christmas is coming.
Right.
Nobody buys shit in February. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
So just find a couple of moments here and there. I mean, the chapters are short. Nice.
And meanwhile, there's new material all the time. I'm sure you're familiar with Tales of the City, and I'm basically Mrs. Madrigal at my own building now. I have a 10-unit apartment building in one of the gayest parts of St. Louis, aptly called the Melrose, and I'm filling it. As units come open, I'm filling it with colorful characters because I love my characters. And so I've got the maestro of memes in the building, my friend Josh Jordan. His birthday was yesterday. He creates brilliant memes, and many go viral. Great friend, although he's highly neurotic. He had a meltdown because he was trying to put drapes up the other day and wasn't used to plaster walls. And when something has to happen, it has to happen on schedule. He melts down if something does not go according to plan, and had an epic meltdown on Facebook, as well as a screaming fit that made No Wire Hangers seem like a lullaby by comparison. But he's a fun guy that is in the building. And then the testosterone-fueled bad boy of St. Louis, my friend Nick, is moving in at the first of the month. He's banned from several bars because he's all boy. And this guy is such a character. And if somebody pushes his buttons, he just explodes, kind of turns into the Incredible Hulk right before your eyes. But, I mean, just the nicest guy, most loyal. But, yeah, he's got a short fuse at times. And he's moving in. And then my friend Dex is moving in on the first also, and has a wall that adjoins. His bedroom wall and Nick's bedroom wall are back-to-back. So they're talking a lot about, you know, what they might be hearing, you know, through each other's units. So, so I'm having a lot of fun with that right now, with, you know, kind of getting my whole Mrs. Madrigal setup going here.
That's going to be insane. You're just trying to set up this whole book series. Oh, yeah. Oh, especially at Nick's place, because I know the Nick that you're talking about, just through Facebook. But, webcams, you're going to sneak those in now. Josh can do it.
It's going to be like Big Brother on CBS.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh is really tech savvy, so he could definitely do it. Nick also is a big fan of poppers, which I'm not really big on poppers. But one time I was talking to Nick, and the subject of poppers came up, and you know, most people think of poppers as something used for sex. And a real matter of fact, he said, you know, I don't even use poppers for sex. I just use them when I'm bored, like when I'm stuck in traffic. So yeah, Nick is a character.
And you just got married. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just got married.
Yeah, no, you just got married. Congratulations. I love the pictures.
Thank you. It was such a great. The whole theme was simplicity, and I didn't want a big fussy, you know, big fussy ordeal. But it was a big wedding, and it was on a bluff overlooking the river, a very scenic location. My niece from New York stole the show. She arrived. She's real statuesque, you know, has a perfect figure, you know, mid-20s, very attractive. Flew in from New York with her gentleman caller, and they pulled up in a pink taxi. And she gets out in a gold sequin bodysuit with a gold choker and big gold Jackie O sunglasses. And I was working, you know, I was talking to, you know, mingling in the crowd when she pulled up, and several gay guys at different, you know, within minutes of each other clutched my arm and said, "Who is she?" She just enamored. She was the best entrance in the history of Alton, which is the town where we got married. I don't think that town had ever seen an entrance like she made. But no, it was such a perfect, beautiful wedding, and I'm very grateful. I'm amazed that all the people who flew in from all over to go. And it was us, you know. Cage, my husband, is the most laid back, joyful person, and he's so good for my spirit because he's just such a calming influence. His mood is the most stable mood I've ever seen in anybody I've ever encountered. You know, there's no surprises with him. There's no dramatic ups and downs. You know, he's just, and it was a perfect thing. It was a perfect day.
No drama.
And you both
no
wore
drama
white.
At the wedding. I'm sorry?
You both wore white.
Yes, we both wore white because we're very pure. We saved ourselves, of course, for this day, and we both were white.
It's your second wedding, dear.
The first I got married, gay marriage was legalized just in time for me to get a divorce. The last one. I was with someone for 12 and a half, 13 years, and they legalized, you know, in California, or actually it was nationwide, I guess they legalized marriage and ran out and got married, and that was the beginning of the end of our relationship. At that moment, it just kind of hit that way. So, and I never planned on getting married again. I thought, I've done it. I went through the whole nightmare situation around divorce and so forth, and I didn't want to split up a household again. I was just content with not dealing with it anymore. And then life happens. You meet somebody that it really just blows you away, and it's a whole new chapter.
But it's a great cautionary tale to all of these twinks and lesbians out there that are doing it just because they can do it. Divorce is a hell of a lot more expensive than a $40 marriage.
Oh, Paul, you just hushed now. We have industries that we need to perpetuate here, like the legal field and the wedding cake field and all of these other things. We're going to go ahead. Everybody get ready and go to GarrettsWeddingCakes.com and GarrettsLegalAdvice.com. And, you know, Papa has a new pair of shoes he needs to buy. Hey, by the way, we've got somebody who wants to chime in. I have not pre-screened the call, so I can't vouch for who this is or what the conversation is going to be. But area code 618, you're on with Chris and Paul and me. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to call in and say that I actually have lived in Southern Illinois, and I've had to deal with a lot of issues of prejudice and such for the gay community. And I'm actually recently getting ready to move in with Ms. Brando at his apartment building. And I just want to say it's a world of difference, and he's done so much to help me and everything, and it's just a great experience.
Right on. Well, thanks for calling in.
We're very excited to have Dex here.
Right on. Thanks, Dex. Have a great day. Appreciate the call in. So there we go. You never know who's going to call in on a show like that. That was very sweet.
I can't imagine nice people calling into my show.
I know, exactly. That's not what we're expecting.
These nice Midwesterners around here, that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
There is something about the people in the Midwest, and that sounds silly to say, and I'm saying this with just a heart full of love. People in the Midwest, they have a special kind of awesome that's about them that I don't understand where it comes from, but they just have this very special way of being lovely people at all times. That's probably, a stretch, but there is something to it. I think it's in the water. It must be in the Mississippi.
Yeah, and, which is kind of tying into national events, I think is one reason Trump is doing so poorly is because people raise their kids better than that. you raise your children to be respectful and treat people nice, and I think Trump's, show, I call it a show, not a campaign. His lounge act or whatever it is. I think it just turns so many people off. And I'm feeling pretty good about I think Hillary's going to win in a landslide, And, of course, everyone needs to do everything they can to make sure that happens. But
it is an interesting political campaign, and I don't usually talk politics, but you just have to, because I think everybody's on the take. So that's just me. But I just, I am so shocked that we have gone down this rabbit hole where we are letting reality TV become the voice of this country. I mean, it's, you know, we already do that with the television programs, but why are we doing this with politics?
Well, I mean, just like, yeah, it's insane. I mean, that's what we fight about. You know, people protest over Duck Dynasty. You know?
Right. Right.
Everything is based on everything has been our camps, our reality shows define our camps. It's pretty wild.
See, I really think that when Hillary wins, Trump, just to save his ego, is going to say that the whole thing was a dupe from the beginning. He wanted to highlight the hatred and bigotry of the nation. So that's why he did it. It was all just to, you know, shine a light on the cockroaches of the country that are out there, and that he was never serious anyway, because his ego won't let him lose. There's no
way.
Well,
I would think that, except for the birther thing, because he started this long before.
But
he personally hates Obama. The birther thing happened, you know, a while back, and I think rather than do what you say he's going to do, I think it's going to be more things were rigged, everything's crooked, you know, he really won, it was stolen. That's kind of what I think is going to happen.
Well, he really won, it was stolen, when, you know,
yeah,
she wins by 65% to, you know, 23% or something crazy like that. Yeah, it's really,
yeah,
stolen.
Right.
And who knows what's going to happen, because everybody says, well, you know, I got robbed and this. Well, every week, whoever writes the article has their own slant. It could be a Democratic slant. It could be a Republican slant, an independent slant, a whatever slant. So they're all going to have their own take on why, you know, Trump is ahead by 38 points in the polls, why Hillary is ahead by 42 points in the polls, and everybody else is, you know, so it's all a bunch of crap. And so I think until we get down there, it's you know, probably going to be fairly close. You'd have to think, because things are going to tighten up between now and November.
See, I think it's going to go the other way. I think it's going to go the other way. As soon as he refuses to do the first debate, he's going to lose more and more people, because he can't do it without independents. And my whole thing right now is, if you're undecided between the two of them, you don't get a vote. You're a fucking idiot. Because it's choosing literally between light and dark.
What do you
I don't
think,
understand.
Chris?
Well, I mean, the choices couldn't be more clear. And all these Republicans that are coming out saying we can't have this guy. I mean, if you truly, in my opinion, if you truly care about the future at all, you know, you'll listen to people who've worked for Republican candidates who served in office as Republicans, who come out and say this can't happen. This guy can't have the nuclear codes.
And we've never seen anything like this, at least not in, you know, our lifetimes, where, you know, the party themselves is like, this is absolutely not.
Right.
Right. Well, they saw it over in Great Britain with Brexit, and they still ended up leaving the EU. But it's basically the same thing that's happening here. And if he wins, I mean, we have no idea the damage worldwide that's going to do. Not
and
only
just the
we're watching
angle.
That happen in Great Britain right now.
Yep.
You know, the Russians interfering with our with the election. I mean, that's all, you know, who knows what they're up to also, but that's pretty alarming.
No, it's scary shit.
You mean, so they're doing to us what we've been doing to everybody else for the last 50 years?
They are. Isn't that awful?
Well,
we've never meddled in an election. What are you talking about?
Leave
the
Shah of Iran out of it, okay? I mean, seriously.
So on a lighter note, I've got updates on colorful characters in and around St. Louis.
Yes.
So,
thank
what
you.
The thing about for people who haven't heard me on your show, I always say people come, and people in St. Louis come to me with their best shit. They come to me like when they want to tell me something that no one else may touch or whatever. Well, one of our, and St. Louis is known for colorful characters and people doing odd things. And the latest is a guy who fashions himself as a superhero. And he spent several thousand dollars on a costume. His superhero name is Citizen Saint. And he has a whole superhero costume, and including a Kevlar vest. And he fights crime, mostly in the northern St. Louis suburb of Florissant. And he does so with the blessing of the local police department up there. And it was NBC picked it up and blasted it out coast to coast. So if you Google Citizen Saint, you'll find the NBC affiliates across the country picked it up about local hero fights crime. A very positive puff piece about this guy who's a superhero going around and, you know, patrolling neighborhoods with his taser and wand and so forth. Well, a lot of people know who this guy is. And came to me and said it's not all rosy, the story with this guy. But it turns out the guy is gay. He works at an optometry company here. He got another gay guy a job at that company, and then proceeded to tell everyone in the company about this guy's STDs.
Oh.
Yes, you know, so he gets someone a job, and then it's like, oh girl, he had chlamydia or whatever it was he had, telling people about that, and just and working with 40-year-old women, he would show them pictures of tricks and tell bathhouse stories and everything like that, and the guy was just a total nightmare. But then on top of that, something more pertinent to his crime-fighting gig is they say he's pretty racist. And Florissant is right next to Ferguson. So this crime-fighting hero that turns out, according to people who know him, to be somewhat racist kind of adds an additional layer of problems. But yeah, and so he became obsessed that people at this optometry company were out to get him. He was a manager, but he gets into the general manager's HR files, which he wasn't allowed to be in, and starts reading what everybody said about him and then preparing his defense against it. And it sounds like this little company was just in total meltdown about this guy and how unstable he was. And when the gay guy that he hired found out that the whole company knew all about his sexual history, his health, of course, he was very upset, too. But the way he learned it is the district manager came in, because one of the 40-year-old women that worked there reported it to corporate. She was very troubled by the atmosphere there. And she reported it to corporate. And so a corporate territory manager from Indianapolis came in, called this gay guy into his office and said, you should know that everyone at the company knows about your health issues and your sexual history. But miraculously, or I don't know what, that's not right. I don't know what word you'd even use to describe it. They said, we're considering this an issue of oversharing, and so we're going to transfer him to another store. That was their solution.
Oh, it sounds like
the
Catholic Church.
Yeah, a very inadequate solution to what happened. And then the gay guy ended up quitting. But yeah, so that was one of the insights I got from the colorful characters around. And I don't know if I've been on your show since we had the guy that was obsessed with the drag queens, Paul. Have I been on here?
I'm not sure if you've been on the show with that. I know the story because it's of your blog, but go ahead and tell people of it.
Yeah.
But I want to throw in one thing though. You can look up Citizen Singh and Google him, and he honestly looks like somebody who stole some cheap plastic armor, a Mexican wrestling mask, and then spent 6 weeks at Golden Corral buffet. Batman has really let himself go. We'll just say that much about him. You go, Citizen Singh. Okay, now let's drag queens. That's you're right up my alley.
There was this little guy named Kyle Peterson, and he became absolutely obsessed with two drag queens here locally. One is Jade Sinclair, the other is Janessa Highland. And I wrote a story about it that got thousands and thousands of hits because it's so bizarre. But they were doing a show in the state capital of Jefferson City, which is about an hour or 2 hours from St. Louis. He'd never met them, but went to their show, and outside the show, started talking to them, got their phone number on Facebook, and was calling, trying to meet up with them. And they didn't show him the proper interest. And so then he plotted to take them down. And the way he decided he was going to take them down is he was going to debut as a drag queen himself, but a better drag queen.
Oh, come on. You can't make this stuff up, Chris.
This was a little kind of pseudo. I call him pseudo straight because he claims to be straight, but he's obsessed with drag queens. Early 20s, kind of acne in the face. But I'm reading now from my blog post. In a bizarre plot twist, Peterson decided to launch his own drag career as a way to take down Janessa Highland, and debuted as her estranged sister, Vanessa Highland. And he posts a picture on his wall and in drag and says, "My new sister, Janessa Highland, but the bitch is going down. Vanessa Highland is coming to a stage very soon." And then he fills his Facebook with these kinds of ridiculous threats. Another one is, "Dead serious, guys. Vanessa Highland is coming to perform soon. Just don't tell Janessa. She might be unhappy with her little sister stealing the Highland name." And then threatens to go to a club with a knife and have a knife on stage with the performer. So it gets really scary. And then he creates a Facebook page dedicated to accusing Jade Sinclair of having AIDS. And the entire Facebook page just repeats, it's kind of like Trump repeating Obama's the founder of ISIS. All he did over and over and over was say that this performer had AIDS. And we reported it. We created a campaign to report it. Facebook would not remove it. Facebook, and this is, I've been pulled from Facebook countless times, and yet Facebook was not removing a page dedicated to saying someone had AIDS. I got a hold of Sister Roma and asked her for help because I knew she had worked with Facebook on the Names Project. And then right after that, the page was pulled. So I don't know if she didn't take credit for it, but I think maybe she drew some attention to it also. But so there are no shortage of characters that keep me busy around St. Louis. But this Kyle Peterson was wild.
Now, did he ever get a show anywhere?
No, nobody would book him. And so he was just pretty much relegated to an online troll making threats, and everyone really circled the wagons and banned him from bars. He had been to a lot of bars, but not in drag.
Right.
I don't know if there's a single bar that he can get in, a single gay bar that he can get into now, you know, anywhere near here, but he definitely has severe psychological issues.
Just a few. Although, I mean, you made a couple of pennies off of people that have psychological issues.
We'll add that to the buffet of services we're offering in addition to wedding cakes and legal services here.
Right.
Legal services.
Super gay
money.
Psychiatric assistance.
Oh, I can fucking help you. I can fucking help you. Find the tallest bridge and fucking jump. Seriously.
But pay first.
I will pay your taxi fare. Not a problem.
Uber's cheaper.
Uber is cheaper, but Uber can be scary itself. there's a whole bunch of there's a website somewhere that talks about all the sex stories on Uber.
Okay, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because, you know, in the history of everything, well, then there, that has to have happened in taxis, that has to have happened in buses, that has to have happened on an airplane, that has to happen on a train. We see enough pictures that, you know, are posted on certain websites that, you know, might be referenced here on the show of people in trains, you know, so, yeah, whatever.
Well, I post all of that. I haven't gotten any Uber ones yet. I think it was Feast of Fun that I was listening to, and they said that, you know, they had taken Uber in Hollywood to West Hollywood or something like that, yada yada yada. I had sex with the Uber driver, and it was all pissed off because the Uber driver charged him anyway.
He's gonna make a living.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what I thought, but I don't know. Somebody
like having you as a guest in my Uber car is so worth my time as an Uber driver that I'm going to gift you, for the fact that you're a slut, a free $6 ride. No, thank you.
Well, I had a nightmare Uber. Well, it's nothing compared to these stories, but I was in San Francisco a few weeks ago, south of Market, late for lunch at Union Square. At the Nordstrom's, they have a great restaurant on the top floor that overlooks Powell and everything. And so we called an Uber to take us to Nordstrom, but there are two Nordstrom's. There's a Nordstrom outlet, and then there's the Nordstrom. So the Uber goes one block and then goes to drop us off around the block from where we started.
Wrong.
at the outlet. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. This is not where we need to go. But we had to get out and start all over again because the way they're set up, they could not take us. You know, the app. There's no app for that part.
Right.
you gotta get out and order a new Uber. So we had to pay to go one block.
Well, the thing is they thought you were a tourist, and that's why you didn't say it's only a block down that way.
Right.
In Boston, oh my God, me and my friend David just ran. Anybody that would stop us that had a fucking camera around their neck, this is before cell phones, and asked us where Faneuil Hall was, we always sent them to the combat zone. It's like, go find the porn shops and the hookers. Yeah, it's right down there. Don't worry. Have fun. Yeah, I fucking tourists.
Chris, you got your car back. Can you tell us that story? I was just reading about that on Facebook. So what happened with that?
So my ex, he fell in love with somebody else, but we worked hard to end things in a very friendly manner. And before I left, I signed for a car, and he picked out the car. And it was a Fiat. I'm a big car guy. You know, I like to pimp it. You know, I have a Lincoln right now. But he wanted this Fiat, and I thought it was a ridiculous little car. And I said, I'm worried this is a novelty vehicle and that you're going to get tired of this car. But he wanted it, so I signed for it for him. And then, you know, 2.5 years later, 3 days after the wedding, he writes me on a Wednesday morning from Oakland, California, I'm no longer driving the Fiat. Where do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I'm very careful not to open. I don't want to relitigate. I don't want to fight. So I keep everything very professional and very, you know, succinct. And I didn't address, like, what the hell do you mean you don't want the car? I just said, oh, I was planning on going out to San Francisco for Labor Day. I said, okay, if you'll keep the car garaged until September 7th, I'll pick it up. You know, very, very simple. He writes back, I won't do that. Where do you want the car? And so I had to scramble and call. And what I always say is, you don't weigh Californians down with heavy nonsense like this. You know, like,
we can't,
in the Midwest,
we don't have the capacity for it.
You can call people in the Midwest with this kind of drama and this kind of, I call it a crazy bomb, and say on a Wednesday morning, hey, can you go pick up a car and store it. It's like, oh, sure, man, what do you need? You know, you don't do that. That's California. That doesn't translate. It's like you're calling me and asking me to cross the bridge and go to Oakland and pick up some car. And then what am I supposed to do with
you're
it?
You're insane.
Yeah, and but people actually, I had more than one offer to do it. I'm blown away and honored that people did offer to help. And some he dropped the car off at a mutual friend's house, and they watched the car for several weeks, and then I go out there and pick it up and have it shipped back. But it is upside down. Fiats don't hold their value, so the loan is about $18,000. It's worth about $10,000. So I've got to kind of figure out what to do with it. And so I'm trying to make the best of it. I'm like, this car was sent to me as a curse. It was sent with all kinds of negative energy around it. It was sent to be destructive to me financially and emotionally. And so I've been really conscious of that and just trying to be at peace with it. And so I actually said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use it for my day driving car for work. And save the wear and tear on my car. Well, I drove it for a few days, and every night I had the worst nightmares. And every night they were nightmares, stress nightmares, because at the same time that my marriage was falling apart and he was falling in love with someone else, I also had this horrible job where two companies had merged, and one company had the upper hand, and everyone from the other company was getting fired like once a week, you know. And it was the most stressful experience of my whole life, which is all chronicled in my book, Delusions of Grandeur. But I had these recurring fitful dreams that I was back there working there. My whole life was at that dark point. And so I said, okay, first thing I'm going to do is stop driving this car. And secondly, I need to do some ritual around it, you know, like sage, blessing, whatever I can do to cleanse kind of the negative vibes around it, which I've started on. But I think what we decided to do is my husband has a car that he's not upside down on, and I think we're going to trade his car and the Fiat in for something new for him. And, of course, that debt will be rolled over into something else. But I think I just really need to get that car gone.
Time to go, Mary.
No, I'll tell you how to get rid of the bad juju on that car. It's as simple as this. Pick some fresh sage. Pick some fresh lavender. Don't burn it. Just lay it, spread it out all inside the car. You and Cage go out and fuck your brains out in that car to fill it with sexual, loving, warm, happy energy, and it will scare all of the bad juju away, and it'll be fine. Guaranteed.
My friend Mishu did cut lavender and sage for me, which is in the car now. I don't know if emaciated midgets could have sex in that car because it's so tiny, but we could give it a shot.
Give it a try. You never know. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
Because there's nothing that scares away evil and bad and negative better than good fucking sex.
That's true.
You know, that's why bathhouses are so happy.
They're joyful places. Oh, my goodness.
It's true. Negative bankers walk in there. Negative people, stressed out people walk in there at their lunch hour every day, and they walk out smiling and feeling lighter.
Well, I'm hearing that the bathhouses have really gotten a lot worse, and I guess because the apps, you know. But
when I was
in San Francisco the other day, someone said they went to one of them on a lark, and it was just awful. It was really like, you know, it was just, you know, I guess it's like why bother with all that now.
Well,
I've never been to a bathhouse, but how does a bathhouse get worse?
Well, the clientele goes downhill, I guess. I think it there's less to choose from, and what's there is less
desirable.
The
selection process. Okay.
Yes. Slow business and undesirable selection from what
I'm
gathering.
If you're there on a Tuesday at, you know, 9 a.m., you're probably not going to get, you know, prime cut.
You never know. No, Boston had a bathhouse on Franklin Street, right in the middle of the financial district. and you would get these 20 and 30 year old studs walking through those doors for their morning break or their lunch or whatever, Monday through Friday. It was good for the pickings.
Well, you know, back in the day, I guess.
Know.
I don't know.
I missed the day.
So, Chris, what are you working on now? What do we need to be aware of that's new in your empire?
Well, I mean, pretty much it's just at me getting everything going with this building. And I think it's going to be such a fun chapter in my life. You know, my husband is really social. I've always been really social as well. And we're just filling this building, with interesting people, good friends. And I think it's going to be a really fun thing.
Are you having them sign any type of disclosure as they move in so you can use their likeness?
I was going to just say that. You're going to add that to the lease.
Telling you're getting like $1.50 off a month, you know, but you have the webcam video footage for proof, and you get to use any story you want without repercussion.
Right. These are all good things to get ironed out.
I mean, build them up. Yep.
Chris, when we do our next special, we need to have you back. So I
would love
to
come back. I have a great time with you guys, and we'll be glad to come back anytime.
Well, we love you, but you've got to get that fucking audio book done.
Yeah.
All right.
Right on.
Seriously.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Have a great weekend. I appreciate you so much.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
So, Paul, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. What do you want to rant about for the next minute or two as we wrap up our show for the day?
I have no idea. I'm so sick and fucking tired. Well, I guess I do have an idea. I am so sick and fucking tired of, number one, people airing their dirty laundry out on the interweb between Twitter and Facebook and all these social media apps. And then getting all fucking butthurt about it when people bring it back up to them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, don't be throwing shit out there that you don't want people picking back up and throwing back at you. That's all I have to say about it.
Well, then if you're going to say, you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, people pass and honestly, you know, this is the pot calling the kettle black, because I've done it before too. But, you know, you post these passive aggressive posts like, well, boy, somebody's sure going to be sad that they're not going to be my friend anymore. And, you know, you're like, what the are you talking about? And, you know, if you're going to do this, do it to that person, because none of us get what you're talking about. And frankly, we don't care. We might care about you, but we don't care that you've got your stupid drama going on in your world. So if you're going to post your friggin' post, just say what you want to say. You can regret it later on. You're probably filled with tequila or something. And then, you know, get on with your day and leave the rest of us alone. But, you know, you post these posts going, well, you know, I'm going to make everybody guess about what I'm talking about. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I hate that. I hate it. Oh, just because I'm doing my skin. And the thing is, you know, I mean, all of us have a bad day. All of us have problems. All of us have drama.
Oh, yeah.
All of us have shit that we can't control. And yes, every once in a while, if you've got a fucking downer post or whatever, great. I posted a few myself.
We get that.
Again,
yeah.
I keep it to a very limited list. I don't post it publicly, number one.
Right,
number
right.
Number two, the thing is don't do it all the fucking time. If you're not having a good time on Facebook,
get off the book.
Absolutely. It's easy. I mean, I quit it for a week at a time, and it's like, you know what? Take a breath. Breathe. Live life. Go outside. Find the sunshine for once, God damn it. Yeah.
I think that's a good lesson, because as we're in the middle of August and it is Super Gay Radio Saturday, this is a perfect time to hang up the internet, turn off your Facebook, turn off your – I'm going to challenge everybody here. When you go out today, leave your house for an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours. Leave your phone at home. Guess what? The world will still be revolving when you're around, and you come back and you don't have to sit there and go like, oh, I've got to check this text. I've got to check that. You will find – the new luxury in life is being disconnected from your technology. And I would challenge each of you to lose your phone for a day, put it in a drawer, do it for a week. You'll be surprised. You'll come back and life still revolves, and you don't have to be stressed about all the other crap that's going on that's stirred up by everybody's, you know, posts and tweets and texts and all of that kind of stuff. So that's my soapbox for the day.
Very good advice. And even if you can't leave your phone home, because I know a lot of people can't, just log out of your social networks
log
on
out.
Your phone.
Do that. Do that. So we're at the end of the show, folks. The show's going to shut off in 20 seconds. Love doing Super Gay Radio for you. We're probably going to be back as specials versus regular weekly programming because, you know, we've got stuff going on. But we love doing this and can't wait to be back with you super soon, probably sometime at the end of September. Paul, say goodbye. You got 3 seconds.
Goodbye, motherfuckers, and we'll see you soon.
Okay. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't drive distracted.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.